This is the Schnitt Show.
Let me say this as we kick off hour number three of the Schnitt Show here on your Monday. First, I'm not Schnitt. You probably picked up on that. I'm Casey O'Day, sitting in for Todd. I'll be with you all week. So mark those calendars. One of the things, as I begin this hour, that I want to tell you, because I have a lot of relatives there, even though I grew up in Wyoming. I had a part of our family that actually lived in California because one of my grandparents was a university professor there, but he was one of the good ones. So, okay, there's that. And I really love, it's just beautiful. I grew up in a beautiful place, the mountains out there of the western United States, don't get me wrong, but California was gorgeous, and it's why I chose to go to school out there. But it's insane, right? And maybe you don't mind as much when you're a kid or you're a college kid, other than the fact that, you know, things are kind of expensive. And it's, you know, right when you get done, you're like, holy crap, I can't afford to live here. I was in the Santa Barbara area. You especially can't live there. And once you start to develop an analytical mind for what it is that I do now, you quickly realize just how insane things are out there. It's crazy. And so when you hear these stories, but the amount of influence, too, that California has to spread that crazy is a real thing that even if you don't live in California, you need to recognize. California, there's a reason why if you pick up a product, a lot of products, and you read the warning labels on the back, one of those things might say, according to the state of California, and then some statement having to do with cancer or witches or what, I don't know. And it's because California is too large of an economy to ignore if you are in business. So they have the ability to shape and influence things. All right, here's why I point this out. California has, and they do this through all sorts of laws. And over the weekend, Gavin Newsom was signing a bunch of laws. And I just happened to see this list, and I have a lot of questions. Like, I think the one that probably got the most press was the gender-neutral toy sections. You probably saw this story. So the law signed mandates that large retail stores offer toys in a gender-neutral section, a move that advocates say encourages children to consider toys without taking into account gender stereotypes, yada, yada. So if you have a retail department, you have stores, you have more than 500 employees in the state. So understand when they say large, you know, 500 employees in the state, you're not just talking Target or Walmart, man. Then you have to abide by this and have, quote, the items displayed. You have to have a, quote, reasonable selection. There's no definition as to what satisfies a reasonable selection, but that's one of the laws. So they'll go ahead and they'll change the way they're doing that. And probably if you're not in the state of California, that doesn't impact you. And frankly, how many toys are bought at retail now versus online? I don't know the answer, but I do know that we don't have a major chain toy store anymore in this country. This one, though, California law will ban new gas-powered equipment, not just leaf blowers. It says leaf blowers in the headline here, but it actually is a broad category which dictates engine size. And these engine sizes that they're banning include generators, most lawn equipment, pressure washers, chainsaws. You ever try to use a chainsaw that's not a gas-powered chainsaw? That's not a chainsaw, man. A generator, sure, don't get me wrong. A lot of generators, if you have installed generators, they actually run off of a natural gas connection, which are great. I got no beef with that. In fact, I have a Generac. That is like that. It's a solid generator, but it's a gas connection. That being said, I also have a little Honda generator for tailgating. So we actually have a couple of them for our big tailgate group, and they're great. It's the perfect little size generator and for tailgating. And if you are in a situation where you need a generator, and for those of you, especially who live in the state of Florida, you know what I'm talking about. Well, the state of California is saying that you won't be able to sell those anymore. So people won't be able to get the gas generators there. Well, what do you want them to do? Especially, this is the irony here, especially when you look at the socioeconomic divide there. You know, one of the things, one of the phrases that you probably have never heard until you started reading about California's power usage is brownouts, man. And that's a thing in California. And especially when they get into peak season, brownouts are rampant in some areas. And not just a minute here, a minute there kind of stuff. So if you have, if to have a larger whole home generator that's run in and has, you know, a gas line into it, is great. It's great. You can size it to how much your home you want to run, but it's an investment. And it's not an investment that everyone's going to make. The investment that a lot of people are going to make in the instance that the power goes out, where they want to be able to, you know, maybe run the fridge to keep the food and charge their cell phones, well, that's where you're going to look to one of those little Honda generators or one of the other companies. And that's fine. And that's going to be a lot more affordable for the average family out there than one of the full-size big ones. So that's a thing. More gender-neutral areas and stores. It's not, by the way, it's not just for toys, but also you have to present products in a gender-neutral way, and that includes things like toiletries even, like toothbrushes and razors, and it's all stupid. Everything is stupid, but whatever. Outdoor dining, don't care. I'm just looking at the list here. California become the first state to add ghost guns to the red flag laws. Red flag laws, if you don't know, are laws where somebody can swear that they think you're a danger to somebody else or yourself, and the authorities can come in and grab all your guns, man. And then you have, eventually you go to a hearing, and there's usually a requirement in the number of days you have to, they have to have a hearing for you in 7 days or 10 days or whatever it is. But it's a very interesting and very intrusive law in the sense that I don't know a lot of situations where, based on one person's word, officials are able to strip you of one of your constitutionally protected rights for a week or more. I mean, if you were to put that into a scenario where, based on, let's use one of the other protected rights. Let's go freedom of speech. What if one person complained they didn't like what I was sitting here saying on the radio? Government could come in and be like, "Look, we got to investigate this, but you're not gonna be on the radio, and we don't want you talking to anybody." People would find that absurd. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, "Well, look, you just talked about a story where there was a gag order in certain circumstances." Well, one, the media ain't reality as far as the courts work, and that's an understood thing. But more importantly, a gag order is very different in the sense that it's cutting off his ability to do one thing. It's not impugning his ability to do a bunch of things, and the rarity of it is something that should be noted as well. This law, I don't understand. It's now illegal in the state of California to remove a condom without consent. Well, what if you're done? I mean, you got to ask for permission. What if she's mad and salty and says no? That's just your day? That'd be uncomfortable. Now, I understand what they're going for here. They don't want a scenario where two people have agreed to, you know, make the beast with two backs, and somebody violates an understanding in a way that could lead to pregnancy or transmission of an STD. I'm fine with that. And I think somebody would do that and go, "Oh, yeah, I'll wear that." And then the moment, you know, the lights are low, removes it, that's problematic, regardless of who's removing it. So I get that. I 100% get that, but I have a question. So if you've seen fit to construct a law to deter people from potentially doing something that, one, would violate the current level of consent, but more importantly, could, lead to pregnancy or STD and without the other person's permission, well, what about the other way? What if somebody is not being honest about, I don't know, being on birth control? Not that that would ever happen. Not that anybody would, you know, do anything like that. Baby trap. Excuse me. How come there's not a penalty for that? There's whole TikTok themes where women are telling other women to do that. I'm sorry. I kind of feel like maybe that would fall along the same lines, because they're both not right. But that's just me. California. Oh, yes. This ethnic studies. So California is going full CRT, man. And the crazy thing is, years ago when Gavin Newsom, before he was governor, was asked about, I think it was when he was running, and he was still, what, mayor of San Francisco or whatever? So they had this advisory task force for California schools, and they basically said, here's what we're advising. And it's just CRT, 1619 project, critical race theory, on just bananas version of it, too. And Newsom at the time said that was, you know, that was essentially a think project. Don't worry, it's never going to come to pass. It's not a thing. Well, he just signed it, and it is a thing. And a requirement for a diploma in the state of California will be this ethnic studies course. And if you start reading into this thing, it's insane currently, and now that that horse is out of the barn, I don't think it's going to die down. And in addition to CRT, it's also like, what was the controversy? There was a lawsuit filed over it, and I don't know what, it's probably still pending. Because part of it, as part of the curriculum, the kids were required to chant, do Aztec religious chants. It was something so absurd. And one of the parents is like, I don't want you making my kid do any religious chants, Aztec or otherwise. And then, of course, that dude was getting like, yeah, you're a super bigot. I can't believe you. But that's a thing. And California will require menstrual products in public schools. Some jobless benefits fraud, which is, maybe you do need to do something there. I don't think we'll ever have a full understanding of the totality of the fraud that was committed with all of those COVID payouts. But even the conservative estimates, it's just crazy. It would be unacceptable in any other fashion if it weren't just government spending money. California will be the first to let kids add parents to insurance plans. They knew assisted death law, don't care. Reduced deaths among black moms, they're going to do that. Doesn't say how they're going to do it. And in California, I don't have a problem with this, and this is not just California doing it. Hawaii, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and California will become the first four states. And essentially what they're setting up is the same model that was set up for teachers that most states participate in. And I have no problem with it. And basically it says, if you're a teacher in Florida, right? And let's say, we just had another teacher who was arrested with hooking up with a 15-year-old. I think she's pregnant now. I just saw that story. But let's say you're one of these teachers and something happens and you're not able to teach in a state, you might be your ability to go to another state was something that would happen. People could go to other states. And that's something that does happen in law enforcement. I readily admit it. And they don't have necessarily a good amount of checks and balances where if you are honestly wanting to determine the background of an officer who may be applying for your department, it's an arduous process in some instances. This would have a streamlined database. I'm sure they'll find a way to inject politics in here. But look, if you've got a bad police officer, and there's a percentage that are, and they get run, I don't have a problem with that. And they shouldn't just be able to go a state over and apply their same trade if they have this track record that was enough. And I don't mean when the hyperventilating activist, he looked at me funny. Look, there's some officers who don't have any business being a police officer. None whatsoever. And I don't care whether it's in the department in the town that I live in or the next one over. So if they want to do database, go ahead and do your database, whatever. So there you go. There's a rundown of just some of the more interesting California laws and, you know, how it will impact you. I guess if you don't live in California, I guess we'll see. But ultimately, some are just weird, man. All right, 20 minutes after, it is Schnitt Hour 3. We'll return in just a few.
Schnitt Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take pride in presenting Schnitt.
All right, just because I think this story's funny, and maybe we'll never get to the bottom of it. Did you see the picture floating around of a bunch of Marines sitting in the barracks, and they have a mountain lion in there? Yeah. full-size cougar, baby. And the photo, which was, I don't know, kind of what started to go viral here last week, features a young Marine sporting cowboy boots, sitting on a barracks room bed with a full-grown cougar, and another one kind of his hand reaching in to pet it. The it claims to be from 2nd Battalion, 6th Marines, so that'd be Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. I know we don't have a lot of cougars running around here. However, if you look at the picture, I will say this, and I think I'm just getting lost. The cougar, it looks like it's a taxidermy cougar. So, you know, the level of danger is just a little less. And frankly, it's probably not the first time a bunch of Marines have stuffed a cougar in the barracks, but ultimately the danger level there is probably not what people are assuming, which is the reason it's a still photo. So, let's see. Some commenters, though, who appear to have knowledge of taxidermy, note the cougar's ears appear to be sewn back. So, just a stuffed one. But it's a funny picture. So, and it's one thing that's not super political, and I try to just inject a few of those wherever I can. Sorry, I'm leaning for another story here. Wherever I can into the show. Also, it looks like William Shatner's not going to be headed into space tomorrow. But fear not, it sounds like the launch decision delay is for a day. So, if you didn't know, the 90-year-old actor is set to become the oldest person ever flown to space. It'll be on the Blue Origin, the Phallus rocket. Oh, that thing looks like, yeah. It now is targeting, they're now targeting Wednesday, October 13th. All I got to say this, don't be the company that kills William Shatner, okay? I don't want anything to happen, but there could not be a worse marketing line than we're the ones who killed the captain of the Enterprise, okay?
This is the Schnitt Show.
Schnitt.
All right, let's go ahead and do this last half hour of today's Schnitt Show. I'm Casey O'Day in for Todd, and I want to kick it off with a little update on the story that it's very strange. I thought we were going to have this resolved very quickly. We'd have answers, accountability, all that good stuff. I'm, of course, referring to what I call on my radio show, the Haitian Whipgate. This absurd Texas Border Patrol story where a series of tweets and a couple still photos basically turned incredibly political, saying these agents are whipping these Haitian migrants. And was it Maxine Waters who said it was more racist than slavery or something? I say this a lot. Everything's stupid. And it's because everything is stupid right now. Well, anyone with a basic functional knowledge of what is Western-style horse riding and specifically the split reins there understands the stupidity of this, the texture and the weight of the fabric that's there, the way in which those reins can be utilized to actually to guide the horse. And I'm sure you've probably educated yourself, even if you didn't know. But what was really, really, really problematic was the way in which the president chose to address it. Because if you remember, the day after it happened, initially, Homeland Security Director Mayorkas is like, "Now this is nothing. But then the next day, like, they drug him into a room and waterboarded him and said, "Hey, this is politically advantageous to us." He then comes out and he's like, "This is horrific. We're going to look into it." And then Joe Biden's like, "Yeah, man, this is horrible. This is terrible, but we're going to have an investigation and we'll see." And it's like, well, you just said there's going to be consequences and people are going to pay, and then you took their horses away. Just absurdity on a scale for such a small story that has become the hallmark of how we do politics around here. And by the way, I don't know if you understood fully what was going on. So literally, you had this huge group of migrants that we're now finding out that the U.S. basically knew were coming and kind of ignored. Most of these migrants are not from Haiti. They're Haitian, but they're not from Haiti. They're from Chile and Chile and Brazil, I can't remember, but who were literally having to dump documents, and they were looking at it, and I saw an interview with one guy, one of these guys, and he said Haiti's just the worst, right? From an opportunity standpoint, supporting your family, all of that. And being in Chile with this refugee status is 100 times better. But getting into the U.S. would be a million times better. And the dude's probably not wrong. This is why I'm very careful when we do these stories. There's not a lot of animosity I have for people who are attempting to make that trek. I really don't. In many cases, you have these transport companies, whether they be cartels or individual organized crime outfits, that they run radio ads and magazine and newspaper ads, and they put flyers up in Central America. And because they're doing business, they're trying to procure customers, and many of them will be less than forthcoming based on the process, telling them that, yes, once we get there, you'll be allowed to cross, and you'll have to go through the process, but we'll get you there. And, oh, by the way, it's going to cost you this amount of money you've probably never had in your life. But don't worry. Once you do get across, we can also find ways for you to work it off, especially your daughter there. These are all horrific things that happen. But if you're living in abject poverty in Guatemala and you realize that you have to do something, you don't know what it is, you got to do something, that could be incredibly appealing. And I don't necessarily fault those folks. I really don't. What would you do for your family if you thought you had no other options? Because too often when we get in this discussion about how it's inappropriate to put on a face of to give the impression that if you get to the border, there's not a whole lot of enforcement, which is both reality, but it's also how people perceive it. The perception that people had, especially towards the end with Donald Trump, is it's not worth the time. And that's what you want. That's your greatest piece of marketing in the opposite direction. It's not sending Kamala Harris down to Honduras or wherever she went so she can get booed and tell people, hey, don't come here. Not when they're seeing people being let in. So this whole thing, this whole Texas Border Patrol is whipping migrants who were then, they were crossing back and forth on the river because, I kid you not, they, on the U.S. side, they're living under that freeway, and then if they want to go get groceries I'm not making this up, to go to a food truck where people were selling various foods in a parking lot there on the Mexico side, people would walk across, they'd go, they'd get their takeout, and then they'd go back. And that's when Border Patrol was in there trying to cut them off before they could come back, because that's their job. Well, now the investigation, which was supposed to be complete in days, is still not done. The investigation, which is almost a month old now, is, quote, ongoing. Despite the Biden administration vowing the investigation would take days, not weeks, the investigation ongoing, said a spokesperson for the Department of Homeland Security. The department is committed to a thorough, independent, and objective process. We're also committed to transparency and will release the results of the investigation once it's complete. The images, which were snapped on September 20th, we are that deep into this, surfaced on social media that showed multiple Border Patrol agents on horseback using their horses to keep immigrants from entering the U.S. after crossing the Rio Grande and Del Rio, Texas. Now, nobody's alleging that they didn't use their horses as a crowd control method, which is something that is done all day, every day in most cities in America, decent-sized cities, when there are crowd control issues. Mounted law enforcement is not a new thing. And whether it's we're going to have a college football game and we just want to make sure that everyone's not getting stupid, which happens. We're having a protest, so we're going to set up a barrier at the end of the street, and it's going to be mounted officers. None of this is new. One of the craziest things that I ever saw was I was at one of the RNCs. This was the one in St. Paul. This would have been John McCain's nomination. And I'm standing in this park where they had set up a drum circle, because you always got to have a drum circle, And then they had speakers coming up, and, you know, and it's all Communist Manifesto, but whatever. I'm down there to watch it. But you also had a bunch of anarchists in the crowd. And all week, these anarchists were just you know, setting stuff off. Very organized for anarchists. I will give them that. And I was standing there, and they had intermingled in the back part of where all the folks were gathered. They had mounted law enforcement, St. Paul Police. And there's a female officer. She's on a horse. She's on horseback. She's probably about 10 feet to my right. And I watched it happen. I watched one of these little anarchist, thug, mask, Antifa wannabes go over on kind of the blind side of this woman while she was looking over and talking to the other officer there, and grabbed her by her duty belt and ripped or attempted to rip her right off of her horse. And he didn't get her all the way off. She held on, and the horse kind of turned, which, you know, from a training standpoint is what they're doing. But the next thing I remember is another St. Paul police officer cuts through the crowd, and it looks like he's wearing the pack from Ghostbusters, and I realize that is an entire giant super soaker full of chemical irritant. And unfortunately, I was too close, so I took a little of that. Not pleasant. But, you know, the officers were mounted, and it's I've never heard any pushback. Really on that, other than there's some animal rights people don't like the idea of using horses in law enforcement. So, yeah, what you're seeing here, even with all of that long explanation I just gave, the fact that it's taking so long is I'm sure they focus group everything, they poll people, and it just, as absurd as the claim was, it just didn't get the traction. And so now, if you come out with an investigation that clears it right away, you risk the ire of the people who were fired up, right? The activists who don't care what the truth is. They only care about making a point. But if you just kind of let it fade off into the distance, then you never have to address it again. And politically, you don't take that little hit on the backside. You get all the benefit of the front, and you don't have to deal with it on the back. And remember, these are the same folks that were telling, groups of Haitians at the beginning to get on a plane, and they were going to fly him to Florida. And some of those first flights did, in fact, not fly to Florida. In fact, I can't imagine what they're thinking there from Del Rio, Texas, to Florida, as they look out the side of the plane, and they're, you know, sure, you're going to have to go over a little bit of land or a little bit of water there, but in fact, it was nothing but water. And why? Because they were literally flying them to Port-au-Prince and saying, all right, welcome to Haiti. And remember, some of these folks hadn't even come from Haiti. They had come from South America. And they ended up attacking one of the flight crews. And then it happened again. And then I believe they attempted to hijack a bus. That whole thing, the totality of what's going on down there is insane. And for the most pressing issue to be this photo, which is obviously being misinterpreted, or at the very least is being dishonestly embellished, is very telling. So that is why this investigation continues to mull on, and frankly, probably will not go anywhere. All right, 800-801-8999. I got about three stories I want to jam here into the final segment of the show. We'll do it next here on Schnitt.
The Schnitt Show.
Show. All right, I got to tell you, man, in the grand pecking order of dirtbags, holy crap on this dude. At the very least, I think he's got to be like in the top 1% of horrible humans. A veterinarian from Florida has been sentenced to 272 months behind bars. So what is it that Prentice Madden was arrested and eventually convicted for? Well, he pled guilty, I guess, technically, and they just had sentencing. So according to authorities, it was dual charges, child pornography and bestiality. So literally this dude who according to officials, had a treasure trove. I hate when they use that term when it comes to child porn, but he had a, this is what he would do. Just so you understand the depravity of what it is and how and why I think it rises above just simple child porn or simple bestiality. Essentially what he would do is he'd throw on a little ambiance, a little background video, which happens to be like, and when I say child porn, I mean like toddler stuff. He would have that on as, I don't know, to get him in the mood. And then he was sexually assaulting the animals while the child porn's playing on the screen in front of him and filming himself doing that. I can't wrap my head around it. And look, we do a fair number of stories where, you know, there's somebody who had a bunch of child porn and, you know, especially when they put those stories out where they do like a sting, the old Chris Hansen style stings, and they're like, and three of the employees worked at Disney. And you're like, oh, crap, that's not good. People click on that stuff. And then the animal stuff. So the part where you've literally taken all of those items and included it in one story, and the fact that you're only going to do 22 years for that. He doesn't look like he's that old of a dude. I don't know how you get there, man. That's like, that dude may be, maybe the plan is that if he goes to prison, rather than just getting the normal, what happens to the chomos of the world, maybe it's just so depraved that even, like even the other prisoners won't want to make him, you know, his girlfriend. Be like, nah, I got standards. That ain't it. That ain't it, Chief. The plea deal part of a prosecution by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Florida, which is what happens when you're sharing this stuff all over the interwebs. But yeah, that's his thing. That's what he was doing, and that's what he pled guilty to, so... Holy crap on that one. Also, we're going to make some awkward transitions in this last segment as I jam stories together. Exactly what you would expect. The reviews are in for Dave Chappelle's new Closer special. And if you don't know the controversy here, apparently he was insulting. He defended the Harry Potter author. He was talking about you know, genders. And the irony is, he was doing it as part of a longer, you could tell the people initially criticizing apparently didn't watch it. He was telling this story, and it was a story about a comedian, a transgender comedian, who Dave said that he had befriended, and they got quite close. And also, Dave would seek out advice on doing topics. Remember, Dave Chappelle, you know, this is a guy who cut his teeth on black white supremacist. I mean, he was doing some edgy stuff on his shows, but once you get into a stage environment, the expectation is it's going to be continually as edgy. And actually, this comedian ended up defending Dave Chappelle over a previous bit that he had done, saying, look, we're doing comedy here. And as a result, activists piled on this transgender comedian. He's telling the story of this in the set. And he expounded upon it in an interview, an adjacent interview that he did. And the comedian ended up killing themselves because they had been ostracized. They felt ostracized from the community at large, but also then felt ostracized from within their own community. And the suicide rate, especially when you talk about the suicide rate and its adjacency to transgenderism, is significant. A stat that I've heard Ben Shapiro use is that one of the few? It's one of the few groups, identifiable groups, whose suicide rate battles that of Jews in Nazi-controlled Germany during World War II, and when everyone was being rounded up. I mean, that's a suicide rate that is record-setting. And this is the story that he's telling. And so as a result, since now all reviewers are seemingly the critics, are super woke, and a lot of times, like I saw one review that the NPR guy did, he didn't even talk about what was in there, except for this one item, and didn't even give the context of it. Spent an entire review of this special talking about how, you know, what a horrible person Dave Chappelle is. But for those of you who've seen this in action, you then go look and always try to look at that difference between the critics' reviews and the user reviews. right? The general public, us unwashed masses. And lo and behold, it's got a 33% approval rating for critics and 96% for the general audience. So it is exactly what you would expect. And I would argue it's a funny special. I think Dave Chappelle is a very, very talented individual. So, and on that note, we're done, but I'll be back with you tomorrow here on The Schnitz Show. So till then, be safe, and we'll talk soon.
The Schnitz Show.